My mother visited recently. Some of you may have met her. She came to a talk I was giving, and she couldn't hear very well, so she just came to the front of the room and sat right beside me while I was addressing this group. And as soon as I started to speak, she looked at everyone and interrupted me with, "I can never get him to stop talking." And I had more credibility with the group because I sort of gave way to my mother at that moment. But Catholics may be uncomfortable at the way Mary is treated in this passage. She's outside and she can't get close to Jesus due to the crowds. There's no indication that she is being impatient or demanding to see him. And we would not expect that from her, would we? But finally, the word gets passed along to Jesus while he is teaching that she is there outside. When Jesus hears of her presence, he does what he always does, which is to do something or say something unexpected. The expected thing would have been to honor her in some way. She is his mother, after all, a high place of honor in Jewish family life, as it should be in ours. On top of that, for us, we know her as the Blessed Virgin Mary, so we might ask whether Jesus is lowering her importance by what he says. The exact opposite is true. Jesus never dishonors family relationships, no, but he always uses human family life to point to the higher reality and goal of the spiritual, with God as Father, and all of the people who desire to draw close to him as his children. Jesus says that all people can be his mother or brother or sister. That's pretty radical. The disciple can, in a real way, be a member of that family, but not by the simple fact of biology. To be his mother or brother or sister, what we need are two things. First is to draw near to Jesus. That is how we experience the light that helps us understand clearly what is true. Jesus is the truth, and to be close to him is to experience light pouring into our minds, the light of truth. Second, what we need is to do the will of God. That means to desire and to act in obedience to the truth that our illumined intellects help us to see. The point is that all are united in obedience to the authority of the Father, of whom Jesus is the exact and complete image. And what is the will of God that unites us in a family bond to Jesus, the Messiah? It is doing God's will, which makes us part of the family of God. That's what he says. Well, King David was Jesus' ancestor. That's biology. Great, 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 great grandfather, however many times. This is important for the fact that God would reveal himself fully in Jesus, beginning with his biological ancestry. The New Testament reveals what is hidden in the Old Testament. That's a truth that St. Augustine highlighted. But there is much more going on here. King David is called a man after God's own heart, even by how he repented after he sinned. But today we hear of this great moment in Israel's history when Jerusalem, the city of David, became the city of God. David was the anointed king, to be sure, but here he is, full of the Spirit of God, like the prophets of old, leading the people in a great liturgical action as they brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And then he offered sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. Well, then he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. These are all the roles of the priest. In Israel, for many important reasons, the prophet and the priest and the king had to be different people. But in this profound moment, there is a tremendous pointing forward to the time when there would be an ultimate king who would reveal himself the ultimate prophet, the prophetic word of God, and who, in the greatest sacrificial offering the world has ever known, would make himself the sacrifice which saves the people of all nations. Jesus is the priest who offers the sacrifice and blesses the people. He does this in many ways, but the most profoundly at the Last Supper, when he offers bread and wine, which he blesses, breaks, and gives to his disciples. And then he goes out and offers the sacrifice of his own body and blood on the cross in a perfect act of self-giving. So this inspired act of King David's would therefore foreshadow the time when kingship, prophecy, and priesthood would be permanently and perfectly united, joined in Jesus Christ himself. He is the one from whom all authority comes, including David's. He is the King of Kings, the King of Glory, the Lord of Hosts, as it profoundly says in our psalm today. So this same Jesus, the King of Glory, points forward to his spiritual family. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother, he says. So Jesus is exhorting those sitting there and us today to enter into spiritual communion with him, spiritual family with him, in humility and obedience. At the same time, therefore, he is also praising the one who united her heart and soul and body with the divine will. St. Augustine says about this, her nearness as a mother would have been no profit to Mary had she not borne Christ in her heart after a more blessed manner than in her flesh even. Well, we hear Mary say, my soul magnifies the Lord. In these words, Mary expresses her heart for God, making him the center of her life, by which goodness and light and truth enter the world of human families. She becomes the mother of Jesus and the mother of all disciples who will do the same.